We are still teaching about holy living and with emphasis on being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so it is important that we, amen, as Christians, keep that in mind, that when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we are able to be used by God more easily and more often, amen, than when we are not filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean we don't have the Holy Ghost in us, but are we allowing it to influence us? Amen. You know, there's a saying in the church that said, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. Amen. And so we want to be Holy Ghost filled, because we know when we do that, we can do God work of the utmost ease. Amen. Hallelujah. So our title is Living Holy is Being Filled with Holy Ghost. Living holy is being filled with Holy Ghost. So that is an important area, amen, that we must remember, that glory to God, if we are going to live holy in this present world, we cannot do it in our own strength. Why? Because holiness is not just about an outward behavior. It is a life surrendered to God and empowered by His Holy Ghost. So the Bible teaches us that living holy is being filled, amen, with the Holy Ghost. As I shared, a lot of people want a holy life, but they try to live it with human efforts alone, and that's not going to do it. And they try with human disciplines, and they try with human willpower. And all of these things are not bad, but you can't live holy with just these things alone. So, but God never intended, amen, for holiness to be produced by our flesh. He wanted us to produce a life of holiness by the empowerment of His Holy Ghost. So holiness come by the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost working in us, through us, and upon us. The Holy Ghost working in us and then working through us and working upon us. In the Old Testament, when God would use people, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon men and God used them. But it didn't come to live in them. It just came upon them. And what I mean by that, it came and empowered them to do what God wanted them to do. And then it left. For us, it is residing within us. It is living within us. However, if we don't acknowledge it and we don't give it the right to fill us, to take over our thoughts and our decisions and how we do things, even though it's there, it's not able to use us or to give us what we need to please the Lord. So when the Holy Ghost fills a person, what happens is that person is usually changed. There's a change that takes place. You know, we can say that we're Christians. We can say that we love the Lord. We can say that we want to do what's right. We can say that we want to go to heaven. However, the only way that you and I are going to be able to fulfill those things that we say we want to do is going to require a yielding of ourselves over to Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to have to yield ourselves. Amen. So then what happens, as I said earlier, when Holy Ghost fill a person, that person is changed. Their speech changes. Amen. Their conduct changes. Their desires changes. They have a new boldness. Their boldness changes. Amen. Their worship changes. Their prayer life changes. Their whole life become a life set apart unto God, totally under influence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So then that is what we see when we begin to allow Holy Spirit to see us. We're going to see a change in our life, not like just the norm of just being saying that we're a Christian, but there's God want to use every one of us. There's something about our life that God has an exclusive desire to do. Amen. However, these exclusive things is not just a one or two thing that you can label. God is looking for individuals who He can fill every day. Amen. To carry out tasks for Him, big and small. Some people think, well, I got a calling on my life. Well, I don't believe there's a person, amen, in the earth that don't have a calling on on their life. Because when God put us in our mother's womb, he put us in our mother's womb with a purpose. This is why he said that John was filled with the Holy Ghost inside Elizabeth's womb. While he was in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost because he had a purpose and a plan for him. And that purpose and his plan for him was to make the way for Jesus, to go and prepare the way for Jesus. So then he was a forerunner for the Lord of Lords and King of Kings to come. And so the same thing with our life, God is always causing us to do something that causes us to be forerunners, to pave the way for something to happen. Amen. And a lot of times we don't realize that what God is trying to do with our life, he causes us to experience some things and go through some things because he is trying to fill us with this Holy Ghost so that we can pave the way for something. A lot of times we want to pave the way for ourselves. And God is like, I want you to pave the way for something that I want to do, something that I want to fulfill, something that I want to bring to pass, somebody's life that I want to change, somebody situation that I want to change. And I want to use you to pave the way so it won't be no doubt in their mind that it was the Lord of Lords and King of Kings that done these things. So then, it's okay for us to want to do what we want to do, as long as we understand that we can't say that we're Christian and do our own thing. We're going to have to be like, if I'm going to be a Christian, even though I want to do what I want to do, I believe that Jesus gave me the perfect example when he says, not my will, but thy will be done. And remember what I said Sunday, you know, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we will obey even when it's hard to do. And I believe in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was there, he was going through. And it was just like, Lord, if there can be any other way to obey you other than what I see set before me, is there any other way to obey? And then he's like, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so this is how it is with our lives. And, you know, and I can speak from personal experience. There's been a lot of times where I said, Lord, is there any other way that this can be approached? Is there any other way that this can be done without me experiencing what I see that I'm going to have to experience, without me going through what I see that I'm going to have to go through? However, Lord, I want to do your divine will for my life. So go ahead and take me through it. Amen. See, when you're going through, whenever you put the trust in the one who controlled the outcome, then you don't have a problem with what the outcome is going to be because you're trusting the one that's in charge of the outcome. And so that's what makes it easy for us to obey. Amen. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't have a problem with God's will, even though, like I said, sometimes to obey is not as easy. Amen. And some of you may be saying, yeah, but I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do the other. But, you know, why do I have a hard time at times and why do I struggle with doing what's right? Amen. And that's what Paul says. He said, the things that I desire to do, those are not the things that I do. It's the things that I don't desire to do. It's the things that I do. And then he said, oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me? Amen. So he understood, amen, that glory to God, there was a deliverance that was in place for him. Even though his mind wanted to do what it wanted to do, he knew that, glory to God, if I submit to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost fill me, amen, I will do not what I want to do, but I will do what God want me to do. And the struggle of doing my own thing and doing God's will, amen, will become less and less and less. Amen. Hallelujah. But remember now, when the Holy Ghost fills us, we've got to be willing and in obedient, we got to be willing and obedient to accept the change that God is going to bring. He's going to say, listen, you can't do that no more. You got to start doing this now. You got to let that go. You got to let this go. You got to let the other go. You just got to just trust me that if you let these things go, I can replace them with things that is going to bring you the same amount of peace, the same amount of joy, the same amount of fulfillment or whatever you're looking for. Whenever you put your total trust in God, no matter what he say do, you can trust him that it is going to be, glory to God, to your betterment, because he knows more about you than you will ever know about yourself. He know more about what can cause you to be excited and joyful and happy and have peace more than you and I know about ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. So then in our reference text, amen, we use Ephesians the fifth chapter and verse 18. Ephesians the fifth chapter, verse 18. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 18. Amen. But now that you got a chance to turn to your Bible, let's start at the 17th verse. Amen. Glory to God. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's start at the 17th verse. Amen. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, no matter how it seemed, no matter how it looked, no matter how it feel. Amen. But giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So then he said that, glory to God, we are to be filled. We are to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It says, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So today we are looking at this command, amen, or this what we are reading here is to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul give a contrast here. He says, just as wine influence and control a person, so the Holy Ghost should influence and control a believer. Just like wine or alcohol or whatever influence, you know, drugs or whatever influence and control a person when they're under influence, then we need to come under influence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So a spirit-filled life is a life under divine influence, not just under influence by everything and everybody and other people. No, we're not influenced by people and whatnot. We have a divine influence, and that is Holy Ghost working God's will in our life. Amen. So then what happened is holiness is not merely avoiding sin. It is being filled with something that puts us above sin. It is being filled with something that's greater than sin. Amen. It is being so occupied with God that there is no room for the flesh to rule. Amen. I was just sharing with someone today, amen, that glory to God, if we be filled with the Holy Ghost, all those other worries and concerns and all of these other things that would try to bombard our life and cause us to be concerned about A, B, C, and D. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know that no matter what is happening in my life around me, it is working together for my good and God's glory. So I can say, Lord, I don't understand why you're allowing it. I don't understand how you're going to get me through it. I don't understand a lot of what's going on with this, but Lord, I trust you. I trust you. And that spirit-filled Christian would say, Lord, take me through it. Take me through it, Lord. It is better that I go through it than to resist it. Hallelujah. It is better that I go through it, because see, trouble, it's better to go through trouble than to just confront trouble. Because when you confront trouble, trouble gonna stay in front of you. Amen. And cause you trouble. But when you go through it, then you just like going through a wall. You just go right through the trouble. Amen. God take you through the trouble, and you come out on the other side with trouble coming to pass behind you. Hallelujah. But that's when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. See, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, it fills our heart in a such a way that he is able to convict us of sin. You know, sometimes we are convicted of actions and thoughts that we have. However, the conviction just ends there. We just get convicted and then it's like, oh, I know that wasn't a great thing to do, but we don't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, even though we know something is wrong, there's a song that used to say, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Well, a lot of times the devil have us, if sinning is wrong, I don't want to be right. And he gets us, even though we be convicted for a minute, a few seconds, we go on with the thing that, glory to God, that convicted us to start with. Amen. And so whenever Holy Ghost has filled us, amen, when he convicts us of sin, the conviction works. It works. It calls us to turn away. When I was a child, I got a lot of whippings, but I tell you what, I never got a whipping for the same thing. Whenever I got a whipping for A, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get some other whippings in my life, but I'm not going to get it for A. Amen. And so whenever Holy Ghost fills us and convict us, we should not do that thing that convicted us. It should not come up again. It is not that he's not going to convict us for something else, but it shouldn't be the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So it shouldn't be the same thing. And so then not only that, he strengthened us against temptation. Whenever you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost, no matter what kind of temptation the devil come, what happens is you begin to think about the effects of your actions. You begin to think about the detriment of your actions. You begin to think about how many people are going to be hurt. That's when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're not filled, then it doesn't matter how many other people you, right now, that temptation looks good, feel good, seem good, whatever it is. And so it is peace. It's appeasing at the moment. Amen. But whenever we are filled with the Holy Ghost, you actually hate sin. Amen. Or you hate temptation. I remember one time, a few years back, maybe about 20 years back, some guys came into church. They gave their life to the Lord, but they were still growing in the Lord. And, so they was talking about a particular, our singer that was just like every man's dream. And I completely blew their mind. I said, there is nothing attractive about that lady. And they were like, what are you talking about, Pastor? What do you mean there's nothing attractive about her? Sin makes her look ugly. See, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, temptation looks not pleasing. Hallelujah. It doesn't look pleasing to you. Amen. And so what happened is you're able to resist and resist and resist because temptation don't look good. Temptation don't feel good. Temptation to you is something you despise. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that's when we are filled. Now we're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Even though we got the Holy Spirit living in us, we can still be tempted. Amen. Glory to God. Because we're not filled to the place to where those temptations look like something you don't have no desire for. Hallelujah. And not only that, he gives us strength over temptation. He gives us power to obey God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when he fills us with the Holy Ghost, remember I said earlier that sometime obeying God can seem hard. Amen. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, obeying God become easy because Holy Ghost enables us to obey God no matter what. In other words, we're able to resist our own self and obey God's will. Amen. He leads us into truth. A lot of people can hear truth and they can read truth in their Bible. Amen. They can hear truth and read truth, but you never see that truth connect to them. You never see that truth carried out in their life. You never see that truth ever manifest. You know why? Because without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, even though I know to do good, I'm not going to do it because I don't have the enabler. Amen. So this is what I mean that he gives us strength against temptation. He gives us the power to obey God. Hallelujah. He leads us in the truth. When I say he leads us in the truth, I'm not saying he just lead us to be able to read the truth and hear the truth and know what the truth is. No, he leads us into the truth in such a way that that truth become a part of our makeup. It becomes who we are. It describes her. I like to read in the Bible sometime and see myself. I like to see myself as more than a conqueror. I like to see myself as, regardless of the circumstance or what I can feel or see, Lord, I know you're working mightily in me. I can see myself as I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That strengthened me. Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. Not my own might and not my own power, but Lord, by your spirit, amen, I'm going to be able to obey you. I'm going to be able, glory to God, to apply your truth in my life and make that truth become true about me. Hallelujah. Amen. He helps us to live separated for God. Hallelujah. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we can easily live a separated life. And this is what Paul was saying in Romans. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He said, which is your reasonable service. In other words, when you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost, it is reasonable to do anything that we believe God wants us to do. We do it with a joy. We do it with ease. We do it without hesitation. Lord, as you will, I will. Hallelujah. As you will for me to do, I will do. Hallelujah. So then not only that, amen, it helps us to not see holy living as a burden. It helps us not to see holy living as something that we cannot do. Amen. Why? Because holiness by no means is what will be considered an old fashioned religion. Amen. No, it is a spirit filled life, new life. You know, you can read the Bible and you can read something today and read it a week later and get a different understanding or better understanding each time. Amen. Because the word is alive. Whenever we are filled with the Holy Ghost, our religion is a religion that is alive and well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And so then when we look at the word of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, we will be moved like those men in 2 Peter, the first chapter, where it says, glory to God. It says, holy men of God, spec as they was moved by the Holy Ghost. See, we want to do what we do being moved by the Holy Ghost. We want to speak being moved by the Holy Ghost. We want to make decisions being moved by the Holy Ghost. Some of you already made some decisions that the Holy Ghost did not have no input whatsoever. And I need you to know those things that we do without Holy Ghost, we're just doing them. We're just doing them for us. There, as much as we try to deceive ourselves that there's something good coming out of them, no, it's not. It's not. There's nothing good coming out of decisions that has nothing to do with God. We don't even consider God. We don't even put God in the picture. We don't even ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is Father's will? This is what I want to do. This is what I desire to do. This is what I feel that I want to do. But Holy Spirit, what God want me to do? Hallelujah. And a lot of us, we struggle when it comes to family members. We will allow family members to always override God. We won't ask God, Lord, how am I supposed to work with this person? If I love a family member, amen, I'm going to make sure whatever I do with them, they're going to experience God truthfully, not just a form of godliness, but God. Hallelujah. I remember, amen, when my sister, you know, she was in that alternate lifestyle thinking that she was a boy, and nobody in the family would talk to her. You know, everybody was just glad she came around to events and whatnot. And it's just like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. How can we say we love someone, know they going to hell, know that they live in a life out of God's will, and we don't have nothing to say? I sit down with her for about 3 hours and told her how much God loved her, told her the purpose that God put her in our mother's womb and all of those things like that. And everybody was just like, what are they talking about so much? You know, and that's what I was like, listen, you may not talk to me after this conversation. And you know what? It will be very fine with me. As long as you understand that God loves you, but he don't love your actions. He doesn't love your sin. He doesn't love how you are doing things. No, he don't, but he loves you. And so at some point or another, if you're going to tell me that you love Lord, and she said, I love the Lord. And it's just like, you're going to hell. based on God's word, not based on me. I'm not the final decision. I don't make the final decision, but your fruit is hell bent. Your life is hell bent. I don't care what you think, how you feel. You can say I'm judging you. I'm just looking at the word of God and looking at your life. And the word of God says your life is not the life that God wants. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, I talked to her and she listened a little bit and she didn't listen a little bit. But at some point, a few years later, I don't know what happened between her and her partner. But anyway, she shot her partner and she thought that she had killed her. So she shot herself. She shot herself. Now, it didn't bother me because it's, you know what? The last time I talked to her, I told about the love of God. So I don't have a problem where everybody was falling apart. Oh, this is tragic. This is this, this is that. And this is the other. Listen, God loved her enough to show her that he loved her. Now, how she respond? That's not that God can't make her respond. And you know what? All I did was I was the messenger. And so when they had her funeral, I preached her funeral. And at the funeral, I preached the love of God to all of those people. You know what type of people was there? All of those different type of people was there. And I gave an altar call at the funeral. And almost 30 something people. Now, what if I'd have been there worrying about, well, you know, you don't want to offend nobody in the homosexual or gay lifestyle or lesbian lifestyle. You don't want to offend nobody. But listen, God called us, glory to God, to be the light. And I knew that when I preached that funeral, I knew that, glory to God, I had to give these people the light because all they got is darkness. Hallelujah. Somebody say God is good. Hallelujah. And so it didn't matter that I felt like in my emotions that I might offend somebody. No, I'm going to tell you that your life and God's word is out of alignment. And a lot of us won't say that to our family members. We won't say that to people, the friends and whatnot like that. If you really are filled with the Holy Ghost, or you really, really believe that God has called you as his child, and if you really believe that you're a Christian, that you're saved, you will not have a problem with disturbing your friendship with people. Jesus didn't come to make friends. He came to show people the way, the truth, and the light, because he was the way, the truth, and the light. So this is what I'm trying to show you. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, you can be used by God. You can speak right. Even the funeral home director, after years and years and years of being in funerals and funeral services, gave her life to the Lord. Why? Because somebody was willing to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak to people at a funeral, because it's not about the dead person in the casket. It's about the people that's at the funeral, because there's nothing else we can do for the dead, but we can do a lot for the living. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. God is good, isn't he? And he's holy. God is holy, isn't he? Amen. Amen. So, as I was saying, then what happens is when we are filled by the Holy Ghost and we know that we got a sure word of prophecy, we will speak like a person, amen, that is filled with the Holy Ghost. And what do I mean by that? The Holy Ghost will inspire, amen, the word of God in a way that it will empower, amen, us as children of God to live by that word. Holy Ghost give us the power to live by the word of God. We do not live holy by opinion. We do not live holy by tradition. Hallelujah. We do not live holy by private interpretation. No, we live holy by the sure word of God, revealed and made real by the Spirit. So then I want to say this to you. Whenever, glory to God, hallelujah, you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak the mind and word of God, and you will not worry about, listen to me, you will not worry about how people are going to take it, because you are trusting that if God have you speak it, he's already prepared their heart to receive it. Hallelujah. If he have you speaking, he's already prepared their heart. So if I'm going to be speaking about what's wrong with all of those different alternate lifestyle and 30 or more people get saved, amen, after being offended in a sense, you know, according to our standards, you offended them. You didn't have no compassion for them. And listen, I let them know that, glory to God, that if I told them in the message, I said, if my sister could say something to you right now, this would be her message. And I said that about 10 times or more through the message. If my sister could speak to you, this is what she would say. And I would say, share some more about God have came so they might have life and have it more abundantly. And then I would say, if my sister could speak or to you, this is what she would say. And at the end, I say, this is what she would say. Change your life. And guess what? They act as though they had a conversation with her because they came to do what? Change their life. Somebody said, God is holy. Amen. 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 Yeah, I done seen some things. I done experienced some things. Amen. And I thank God that I was able to go through all those things and experience all those things with His Holy Spirit, because in my emotions, in my feelings, I would not have made it. Hallelujah. So if you want to know why you can't go through some things, you can't adjust things, you can't make changes in your life, you need to ask Holy Spirit, I know you living in me, and the same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, you're residing in me, rise up in me and help me to do the will and the word and the purpose of God in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. So what happens is when you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible become a light in a dark place. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What happened is it become a light into our path, until our feet, and a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. Amen. So what happened is the Holy Ghost filled us. And what happened? The word of God, it becomes clear. Because he's there to lead us into all truth. That's Jesus said, I send you a comforter that will lead you into all truth. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost fills us. Amen. And as I said earlier, conviction becomes sharper and easier. We easily convicted, meaning that we're easily able to turn away from whatever convicted us. Amen. Hallelujah. Directions become clear. Amen. Are certain. We begin to start saying, Lord, I don't know what this day hold, but I know you hold this day. So I trust you, Lord, as you direct and order my steps. I trust you that your will be done in my life. Hallelujah. And I was saying earlier, the heart become more obedient. Our heart become more obedient. We don't have a hardened heart. We have a heart that's softened into the Lord. So you and I can not live holy if you and I ignore the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you and I, we cannot understand the word fully without being filled with the Holy Ghost. We can read the word, as I said earlier. We can hear a good message preached. Without the Holy Ghost, there could be no interpretation or understanding of the word that you're reading or hearing. Amen. Neither there can there be application of what you're reading and what you're hearing. Amen. So then, the Spirit and the Word will always work together. Hallelujah. It will always work together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want to finish the Bible study. Amen. So I can give you time to ask any questions that you might have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The thing that you want to keep in mind about being filled with the Spirit is that it will cause you or lead you to do things that doesn't always make sense to you, that kind of go against your reasoning, your logic, and your rationale. Hallelujah. But I would say this, glory to God, holiness, when we look at holiness, holiness give us boldness. I think about when the children was in the upper room, the Bible said they prayed, you know, in the book of Acts, they prayed and the place was shaken and they was all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in tongues. Amen. Glory to God. Well, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, what happened is that it gives you boldness to take a stand for God. We're living in our time in a place where the world make anyone who want to make a stand for the truth, trying to make you feel bad, try to threaten you, try to cause you. It's like you're not caring, you're not loving, you're not compassionate. Amen. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, what happened is believers will always pray with boldness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will speak the word with boldness because when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, the word that God speaks through us will be a word filled with the Holy Ghost and boldness. So holiness is not weak. Holiness is strength under God's control. Holiness is strength under God's control. Strength under God's control. So a spirit-filled believer can stand before oppositions. When you are, people are telling you that the truth of God is not true, you will be able to stand before them and you will still speak truth, even though the opposition may be great. It may be even revived, threatening. Amen. And you think about Peter. Peter, those of you that understand and know anything about the Bible, Peter was one of the disciples that was with Jesus, that was spent every day with Jesus. But when Jesus got arrested, amen, to go before the courts and whatnot like that, Peter, amen, denied that he even knew him. As a matter of fact, he began to curse out this girl that was saying, no, you're one of them. And he was like, went on with some languages, amen. And no, I wasn't with him. But before that happened, Jesus told him, he said, Peter, I'm gonna put it in a way you understand. And he said, the rooster is going to crow three times. The cock is going to crow three times, you're going to deny me before the sun go down. He said, before the sun go down, you're going to hear this rooster crow three times. And so what happens is after Peter denied that he knew him, And then, amen, glory to God, he heard the rooster crow or the cock crow three times. And he remembered what Jesus told him. And that kind of convicted him. However, what happened though, Peter went to the upper room after Jesus was descended, and he went to the upper room with the rest of the disciples and some of the other people to wait on the Lord. Like he said, wait. He said, soon after that, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and fill you. The Bible tells us that Peter, this person that once denied Jesus, amen, later stood before rulers, amen, and said, amen. The Bible tells us in Acts, the fourth chapter, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter became a mouthpiece for God when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he did some great things and shared some great things. And on the day of Pentecost, amen, glory to God, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us quite a few people gave their life to the Lord. This same man that was denying that he even knew Jesus, now he is standing boldly because now he got the Holy Ghost in him. He's standing boldly now and telling everybody about this Jesus that they crucified and that Jesus that came to save. Amen. Because now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. You may not want to believe it, but before I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was a very shy person. And people said, well, I can't believe that, man. You need to know that when I speak with boldness and when I speak with confidence, when I speak with assurance, amen, glory to God, it's the Holy Ghost. Because it's not that shy person that people used to know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But just using that to show you, if you are willing to allow Holy Ghost to take over your life and fill you, you will be amazed at yourself of what he can do. Hallelujah. Because this is the difference the Holy Ghost make. It makes the fearful fearless. It makes the weak become strong. It make the quiet become courageous. It make the defeated become victorious. So if we are to live holy in this generation, we need boldness, amen, to say no to sin, yes to righteous, yes to truth, yes to God's will. The only way we're going to be able to do that is when we are what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if we want holiness, I said, we must want the Holy Ghost. If we want victory, we must want the Holy Ghost. If we want boldness, we must want the Holy Ghost. So if we want to please God, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God bless you. And thank you for tuning in. Amen. Glory to God. And I believe that there was something that was shared. Amen. That will cause you to go back and study your Bible, go back and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, no longer I, but the Christ that's living in me. Fill me, cleanse me, renew my mind, empower my life. Amen. Help me to live holy before you in my thoughts. Help me to live holy before you in my words. Help me to live holy before you in my deeds. Let the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, guide me into all truth. Amen. Give us boldness so that we can witness and make a stand for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Amen.